Welcome back, Knuckleheads. My guest this week is a relationship master. He's done it all from marriage counseling. He's got a degree in mental health, and he's now consulting organizations in conflict resolution. You should check out Galen Jones and what he's doing at launchingpoint.net. I think you're going to enjoy this one. Go ahead before the episode gets started, subscribe and share with a friend. Thanks. All right, Galen, thanks for coming on.
Glad to be here. It's a great opportunity. I appreciate you having me.
My pleasure. So what has got you excited work-wise these days?
Well, one of the things that has really got me excited is kind of working with, having an opportunity to work with a variety of clients is I love watching people grow and organizations grow. And some of the strategies that Launching Point uses to facilitate that. I love seeing the personal development. Also, one of the things that really gets me excited is when you see that, whether it's on a team or in an individual, that aha moment where they go, wow, okay. So, you know, that gives them, at least how I understand that, that gives them something really, or us something really practical to begin to work on. I also like to hear, these are my favorite words. That was a great question. When I hear those things get me excited, and I've got Launching Point has several great opportunities right now. So looking forward to experiencing those aha moments. And wow, that's a great question.
Hopefully I have some good questions for you. We'll get into the Launching Point here in a second. I was curious if you could give like a 2-minute overview of kind of what led you to Launching Point and how we ended up here today.
It goes back in my past. When I was a kid, my dream was to make a lot of money and to have the big swimming pool, the big house, the nice cars and so forth. And things didn't go that direction at all. I got involved in a lot of mischievous things in my high school, even my grade school years, and kind of went down several wrong paths. Wound up getting my life together and figuring out that that was not the right goal. There was something better than big cars and fancy houses and all that stuff that goes with it. So I got into mental health. I did a degree in mental health, mostly to try to fix myself, to try to figure out what in the world was going on. And that took me down a road that has really been a blessing. And one of the things my youngest daughter kept telling me, Dad, I got into doing therapy as a marriage and family therapist. And my daughter just kept saying, Dad, you need to do this for businesses because organizations and the business world is a wreck. And she goes, relationships are horrible and they do this and that and they don't get work done. They fuss and fight. So she was, and I kept telling her, I don't know anything about business. I was an electrician. I dropped out at the 10th grade, went to work to try to make money. That was my goal. And that was the bad thing. So I decided that, okay, let's try it. And it's really worked out pretty well. So that's kind of, I had a completely different vision for my life at one time. But when I started thinking about how can I add value to people, how can I help others learn from some of the mistakes that I made and move them forward? So
yeah,
that's it in a nutshell.
Sounds like you've done a number of different things. When did you start doing this business consulting and Launching Point?
No, we're 3 years in now.
Okay.
And we kind of started with I was just kind of leaning into it, or what I call for a process, just kind of stepping close to it and then lean into it and then just go through it. So we're in the stepping into it phase. Things kind of went a little bit faster than I thought, but it's been a blessing. It's been a fun ride so far.
Very nice. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing the past 3 years and what stepping into it looks like.
Well, I just started, when we started Launching Point, I started just kind of sharing with other people what Launching Point was about. You know, just in a casual conversation, you know, people go, well, what are you doing now? Or what's happening? I said, well, you know, I've started this company and we want to help individuals and organizations grow and move forward, predominantly in their relationships. One of the things I've learned along my journey is it's all about relationships. And I said, we started this company and I was just sharing this with an individual, and that individual connected me with some decision makers at Southwest Airlines. And that was my first gig. And that was really amazing. Because I hadn't done anything like this before. It really worked well. So I said, oh, okay, I can do this. And I really don't have to know a whole lot about business structure and organizational structure and a lot of things that I thought I needed to know. I just needed to know about relationships and how people connect. And from there, I did another deal with Ernst Young, and it just kind of snowballed. And then I kind of had to put on the brakes because it was going too fast, too quick for my ability to be. I don't know anything about running a business. So those are some kind of the growing pains that we've gone through. But we're looking at a really good 2020 and 2021. The family made a decision that they wanted to make this happen. So we're bringing on board more family members. My youngest daughter, who was the one that kind of stirred this on, she is in an executive position at a large company, a global company. And she goes, I'm quitting. I'm coming to work. We're going to make this happen.
So, yeah. Very exciting.
I'm looking for that. Yeah. That's another one of those things that excites me. So anyway.
Yeah. So obviously consultants come in many shapes and sizes. I mean, are you doing like presentations? Are you like, what do these engagements look like?
Typically, and this is kind of what I have, it's just kind of gone down this path. I will be asked to come in and do some type of specific training. My academic career is also in conflict resolution, mediation, and negotiation. One of the things that we say at Launching Point, there's basically three stages of life. You're either in a conflict, you just came out of one, or you're going into one. So there's a great opportunity. And that's kind of how things have rolled. So I will go in and do a training. And so we'll set up some basic structure and some basic principles that can be used. And then after the training, we start the coaching, where one of the things that a lot of groups do, a lot of organizations will do, is they'll have consultants or individuals come in and they'll do some assessments, whether it's Myers-Briggs, Enneagram, Berkman, some of these, and they'll do them. And then the trainer is gone or the coach is gone, and the organization, this is at least what I hear. And they say, well, it really didn't take. Well, part of it is because human beings don't change that easy. We can't just hear something at a training or a seminar or a conference, because we'll go into this conference and we'll go, wow, that was really good. And we'll take all these notes, but then we'll walk away. And then 3 days, a week later, because we'll have good intentions of, oh, I'm going to do this, but it really doesn't take. So we bring in the coaching on the backside and say, okay, let us walk with you for the next 6 months and help you implement these until they become part of who you are as an individual or an organization. So we try to create that culture. So yeah, that's kind of how it works.
Yeah, very interesting. I've got some questions there. I mean, what does that coaching look like in those following 6 months? Like, if it's just been you, I'm just curious how you're able to do that at some very large organizations to really get it to stick, because I agree 100% that the majority of consulting, it sounds great. It works for a couple days, couple weeks, but then people forget about it.
Yeah. Well, that's that was one of the reasons we had to kind of tap the brakes, because
I bet
it got pretty busy really quick. One of the major mistakes I made, I was working with a nonprofit organization, and this was at the it was just last year, and I was wanting them to fill out a survey, because I wanted to make sure, I tried to get people to you know, to give me some critique, you know, of how well the training went and so forth. And so I said, okay, I will. This was a training for almost 50 people. And my son is a graphic design guy. So he's also helping me on some of the graphics and stuff that we do, website and stuff. So he said, well, Dad, if you want them to fill out the survey, just offer, you know, a free consultation, you know, and if they go fill out the survey, you'll give them, you know, a free consultation. And I said, okay, that sounds good. Well, I did that. And I had about, of the 50, we had about 45 people sign up for a free consultation. And that was a nightmare.
Yeah, I bet.
I should have known better, but I will say I probably wasn't thinking real clearly about what would happen. I was expecting, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 people would actually mm-hmm. want a consultation. So we don't do that anymore. And we are, that's part of the thing with my daughter coming on board, is she wants to come and shadow some of the things that I do in the training. And also she's at this place doing some work on her coaching certifications and stuff like that. She doesn't have a mental health background like I do, but want her to get those credentials that she needs. And she'll be able to speak at it from a little bit different voice because she's been in the corporate world for quite some time. So we are looking at a way to have Launching Point certified trainers and coaches, but that's, you know, further down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you talked about, you had a background, you had a degree in mental health. That's uh-huh. a very hot topic in corporate America, America in general, mental health issues. Where do you think Americans are going wrong on that?
One of the things that's really important is for individuals, whether we're in a marriage or in the corporate world. Of course, one of the things that the corporate world doesn't take as seriously as it should is that home life affects work life, and work life affects home life. They're connected. It's a system. And being able to come in and really take that seriously. For example, research says that a human being needs to be validated or appreciated 5 times a day.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah, that's what I hear from the CEOs and CFOs and, you know, the big guns at the top. They'll go, I don't have time for that. But see, the point is, you don't have time not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a skill that you can learn, because what they're hearing is, well, that just takes way too much time. But you'll save time on the backside if you do it, if you'll learn the skill, because it's a soft skill. It's not a hard skill. We try to go in and say, okay, let's show you about, let's work on emotional intelligence. We know that emotional intelligence moves people further along in relationships and just in enjoying life more than IQ. You can have a really good high IQ. If you don't have the emotional intelligence to go with it, then it really doesn't do you a whole lot as far as being able to move forward or move the organization forward, where we're creating an environment, a culture, where one of the buzzwords right now is psychological safety. And basically just what that means is that if I'm in an organization, then I feel that if I say something, I'm not going to be ridiculed or mocked or made fun of. But that happens in a lot of organizations where people avoid, and this goes back into conflict resolution, all these things are kind of tied together. If I have a conflict avoidance culture, it's not going to be a psychologically safe culture, because I'm not going to feel like I can say what I think is important to me, because I'm too worried and anxiety's high. So when the organization takes on and becomes anxious, a lot of negative things can happen. So that's kind of where I think right now organizations, there's a lot of them that are willing to invest the time, because it does take time. You don't learn new skills overnight. And it can be expensive depending on what you're doing, but it'll pay a lot of dividends as you move forward.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there. I mean, speaking of the soft skills, say I'm a CFO and you come to me and tell me about the validation 5 times a day. Can you give some examples of what some of that training might look like? You obviously don't have to give away all the trade secrets, but could you give maybe an example of what you might tell that CFO that tells you, I don't have time for that?
Well, the first thing I tell them, because I am used to seeing the shock on their face when I say that. Mm-hmm. So I'll say, okay, let's don't try to bite off 5. Can we do 3? And then we just kind of look at the organization, the structure, and how information is passed, and look at different ways that we could do it. I use, and I'm a trainer for appreciation in the workplace. So that's where I kind of plug those particular principles in. And one of the things that there was a book that was written, it's called The 5 Love Languages. And the authors of that book have written a book called Appreciation in the Workplace, which is based on the fact that you may be trying to show appreciation to people, but appreciation really comes in dialects. Everybody doesn't receive appreciation. Let's say it's verbal. Some your supervisor comes in and said, well, you did a real good job. But then that may not be a language that you speak, that you receive and really get energized by someone saying something. It might be that they would do better if the supervisor or team lead would, you know, spend 15 minutes with them, just saying, well, how's your day? It's just, you know, more of quality time. So those are some different strategies. Knowing how to read the individuals, you know, their body language, learning how to listen. And, you know, we talk about active listening. Really, in my experience, nobody really knows what that means. We have some little bullet points that we give with that. But one of the things that's really key is that as a leader or as someone that's trying to develop relationships, I need to know what to listen for. And there's a couple of principles that Launching Point uses that are kind of unique to our what we do that are really key. And if we've zoned in on those, people respond and they'll do it every time. And it's part of the wiring in the human psyche. And one of those things is, I want to be appreciated. I want to be validated. I want to be told. I want somebody to let me know that I'm important here. That would be one of the way we would language it. And so when I hear those, that's kind of a cue. So we teach our team leads and supervisors and so forth what to listen for, the cue, and then what behavior needs to follow the cue. So that's. That's it in a nutshell. There's more to it than that, but
yeah, no, I mean that you did a good job answering that one. I'm curious now that you're 3 years into it. I'm sure most of these CFOs and CEOs want to see like what the results are. Could you share an example of maybe what some of those results have been from your consulting engagements?
I can always tell when I have good results if I'm asked to come back.
That is a good sign.
So that was, something that I was kind of sharing with some of my mentors that, okay, I'm getting return requests. So some CEOs that I talked to, they said, okay, well, that's obviously a good sign. You just need to keep moving forward, keep leaning into it. So that's kind of what we're doing. One of the things, I can give you an example. The one organization I was working with, we did a conflict resolution training. And one of the things I will share in the training is I'll say, okay, when you have something that's live or when you have something that's hot, what I would call hot. In other words, you're in this team thing and you can see that there's a conflict and you've got the cue, call me. That's when we do the coaching.
Okay.
Because we do it with something that's live, because I have to be in the experience to be able to learn how to navigate it. So in this one situation I'm thinking about, So they had a conflict. Two team members were in a conflict. They called and we just kind of talked about, hey, what do you see? What principles do you think from the training apply here? They told me, said, yes, okay, tell me what you think you were going to do and blah, blah, blah. So they went and did that, then called me back and said, gosh, this thing worked. So that's what I meant by kind of the aha thing.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when we're training and we're sharing principles and our wiring behaviors, you know, people go, yeah, that's true, but how, you know, and that's why we try to do that when it's some things that are really a live experience. So the coaching isn't always just, you know, once a week or once every 2 weeks and we're working on something specific. That an individual, which we do that, but in the organization, we try to go, okay, the coaching is when you have a situation, I may not talk to you for a month, but when you have a situation like this, call me, let's set up a time, be patient, don't jump into it, and let's talk through it. So that's kind of how that works. I don't know if that answered your question or not. But.
It did. And it answered another one I had of kind of what separates you from other consultants. And it seems like you're very deliberate around those conflict resolutions and doing things like that. I guess I've had 4 or 5 different consultants on the show in some form or fashion. And I think they're focusing on different areas of the business. I'm curious, is this just being embraced by really big companies like Southwest Airlines, or are you seeing, like, call it small to mid-sized private companies embracing this as well?
I would like to be able to do whatever size the organization. But what I found at this stage, it's easier for me to manage smaller. I'm doing a gig in February for the Children's Advocacy Center of Collin County. It's my second training there. It's a small organization. It's nonprofit. I did one for an accounting firm. They have about, I think 70 employees. So yeah, it's clear across the board. Sometimes one of the things I experienced that when I had on my website, you know, Southwest Airlines, Ernst Young, the Brinkman Corporation, you know, they would look at that and go, okay, we can't afford that. And so, you know, I've tried to branch out and tap into, you know, smaller nonprofit startup businesses. You know, it's much easier to set the DNA in a small organization and move from there and grow from there than it is to try to inject and change the culture of a very large corporation. So, but we do it, you know, department by department, depending on the structure of the organization. So it's kind of how that works.
That makes total sense. We can wrap up here with, I think I have 2 or 3 more questions. So we can start here. Where can people find you and who would you like to have reaching out to you?
Well, any individual or organization that is interested, you know, our kind of our tagline is that, you know, we help people reach greater heights and new beginnings. So anyone that's interested in the personal development or organizational development, whether you have a conflict or, you know, we do a lot of assessments, Enneagram, Myers-Briggs, Berkman, and so forth, to go in and kind of help organizations. Any group or individual that's interested in that type of growth, where I really understand that relationships are key. Those are the type of individuals and organizations that we're kind of looking to tap into. So you know, our mission statement is that, you know, Launching Point exists to help organizations and individuals reach their full potential, taking them to greater heights and new beginnings. So if you're there, contact us, and we can be contacted through our website at www.launchingpoint.net. That's where we are. And there's a page on there where the contact page where I can be contacted, and we'll respond as soon as we can.
I like it. All right. We can wrap up here with two more questions. So you've obviously done probably hundreds, if not thousands, of interviews over the years. So what's one of your favorite interview questions?
Well, the questions that I get to ask are really situationally driven. So there's not really a favorite. I just try to go, okay, try to look at what I try to listen well to a narrative, to their story in their context, whether it's work or whether it's personal. And just kind of break that down and ask some questions to it to help people. You know, if we think about one of my favorite things in this line is if we just had a horizontal line, we have things that are above our line is things that are in our consciousness, things that we're aware of. But then below the line are things that we're unconscious of, but we react to. And sometimes we don't even know why we react to them. So I like questions that help people see and recognize some things that are below the line, and they bring them above the line. So then we can decide what we want to do with them. We don't want to react to them. We want to respond, maybe, or maybe we want to change them. So I like those type of questions. Can't think of one specific because I do.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
Situationally driven. So.
All right. Last one. What is something you believe in that few others do?
I think that relationships aren't nearly as complicated as they appear.
How
I think
so?
Most people believe that relationships are just hard. And I believe that they're not hard if we use the right skills. And they're soft skills. They're not something that we can't learn and can't implement. So I think that that most organizations and even personal life, people just think relationships are just so hard, and we give up and we spend a lot of energy, and mostly because we keep doing the same thing, expecting mm-hmm. a different result.
So, yeah, I like it. That's a solid answer. Nobody has really given that one. I was asking that question a lot over the summer and wanted to bring it back. So, good answer.
Well, that's what I believe. And I it's a game changer for family life and work life. And that's what we want to be about.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Well, Galen, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Healthy Conversations with Matt McGee. If you enjoyed the show and want to know more, check us out at hcwithmattmatt.com. Please leave us a review and rating on iTunes, and we'll see you next week. Thanks.
Matt McGee is an employee of Frost Insurance. All opinions shared by Matt or guests of the Healthy Conversations podcast are solely their own and do not reflect the opinions of Frost Insurance or Frost Bank. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for insurance, banking, or investment advice. Healthy Conversations is produced by Straight Up Podcasts.